Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to Brett and Cliff's Flea Circus. My name is Cliff.
Hello, Cliff. Hello. Brett. Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm doing all right, mate. You know, I've got no complaints.
You're growing your hair. It's been 2 weeks since I spoke to you, but your hair's it's flowing.
It is. It's gotten long suddenly, hasn't it? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm quite impressed with myself that at the ripe old age of 42, I can still grow a centre part.
Are you taking any of the hormones or anything like that?
No, I'm not. I'm not taking any of the hormones, Cliff. Do you think I should?
I mean, who knows what would happen?
I know.
This is already impressive in itself. You look like Scott Minto.
Scott Minto? No, I don't know if I like that. I look like an average left back.
Well, the alternative I was going to say is Robbie Elliott, but I thought he's Newcastle, so let's not say him.
Yeah,
did play
for
Sunderland, though, didn't he?
Briefly, didn't he? Was he on loan or something?
I think he maybe played. Did he ever actually play? In fact, I don't know.
I don't think so. Yeah. I don't know. I'm going to get it cut anyway.
Just don't let Minto influence you.
It's not in the fashion. I was walking, you know, on me rounds and that, and this fella had, he had Deacon Blue on, right? It was playing out of his garage. I went, oh, you know, Deacon Blue. And when I walked past him again, he accused us of looking like one of the band members. I don't know which one. He mentioned his name, but I don't know any of the band
Ricky
members'
Ross?
Names.
It was him.
Is that the singer?
Yeah.
Is that the singer? No, oh, well.
So he thought, hang on. So you went, you're a postman, and you went past a house, and there's a fella in his garage. But how many years your post? Oh, is that Deacon Blue you got there? Nice one.
Uh-huh.
And he went, yeah, it is, mate. And then as you went away, he thought, hang on. Was that Ricky Ross from Deacon Blue? Did he mention Deacon Blue
was
to get a little bit of recognition?
Yeah. Isn't he Scottish, though? I didn't have a Scottish accent.
Yeah. So you went back past, you went, how are you? Do you really like Deacon Blue, or are you in them?
That's exactly what he said, eh? you've got a look at Ricky Ross, you know?
You've got a bit of a look at Ricky Ross.
Uh-huh. One of the
now,
many.
You don't look like him now, Brett, because he's old, obviously. He's like in his 60s.
Well, you know, I wouldn't mind looking at him. And one of my other colleagues called us Bonk on Brett today for some reason. Bonk on Brett.
Bonk. Well, there's no explanation needed for that one, Brett.
No, there's not. There isn't. So, yeah, that's what's happened. Bonk on. So, how have you been? What you've been doing with yourself, you know?
Well, I haven't been given any involuntary bonk ons.
Can you remember when you were at school and sometimes you would just get a bonk on, wouldn't you? Probably in maths, if your teacher was
alright for me. We had that.
Alright. It would just happen, wouldn't it? You'd have to tuck it in your belt.
Of course, get it in the belt. Get it in the belt. Of course, Ari, because obviously the teachers were touching my penis.
I thought it was just the religious aspect of the teachings that.
Well, it's all their men in their dresses. smiting. Fucking. Oh, let's read about another smiting. I can't get no.
Oh, I love the smiting me.
There isn't another lesson where you get a smiting.
There isn't.
Apart from
there isn't.
I mean, some maths teachers used to dish out a smite, didn't it?
With what, throwing the blackboard rubber thing at you.
Never did.
Is that a smiting in your book?
Never did that at me, but I would class that as a smite.
Yeah.
No, what have I been up to? Not that. You know what? It's a blur. I honestly can't remember. I've had a funny couple of weeks. I had a couple of days where I haven't felt so good. And then I'm all right. I've been keeping up with the football, you know, and the spinning and that, you know, trying to get a little bit more fit.
Doing the spin again, have you?
Yeah, so, but me plan is, I think, is a good plan, but it's backfiring a bit because I'm doing football one day. And then the next day I'm doing the spinning, which means it's good. It's like twice a week I'm doing that. But obviously I'm knackered the day after the football. So I'm giving it my best. But it's more like...
you're just gently rotating.
Yeah.
Rather than spinning. Is that what's happening?
Yeah, it's not a full spin.
Can remember... It's another thing that's just popped into my head there, Cliff. Can remember those things in the 80s, early 90s that used to vibrate you to make you thinner? It was like a belt. And it was, we had one of them.
You stood on as well.
You stood on it, and this belt went round your back. I don't know why it went round your back.
Brett, I'm not surprised that you had one in your house because you had all the vodcons, didn't you?
Of course we did, yeah. It was from the car boot sale.
You had all the vodcons. Well,
it was good.
You had a fucking suntan machine, didn't you, in your room?
The suntan, yes. Suntan
is that what
machine. Called?
Suntan machine.
I think so. Suntan weapon. Something like that.
You had the cable in your room before anybody else I knew that had them in the road room.
Yes.
That was good.
I did.
Lucky little bastard, weren't you?
I was, yes, I was.
You had sleep on a sunbed. Like,
it was very difficult to get it in the box room, wasn't it?
A very deep tan, nevertheless. Always tired, but had a very deep tan.
I used to go to sleep on the sunbed. Yeah, I did used to do that. It's very relaxing. Hey, Cliff, would you like another Lost in Translation football rumor?
Oh yes, of course. Oh, actually, talking about Lost in Translation, I've got a decent story for you.
Well, that'll be good. That'll be good. Oh, obviously, this rumor is about Sunderland again because I don't look at anybody else's, do I?
No.
So this is it. Nazarly Russian, who's Ukrainian, will still become a Sunderland player. The English hit on the hands with Zoya. Last week, the club has discussed the terms of transfer, payments, and interest from resale. In the end, they managed everything. The player himself will soon undergo a medical examination and sign a 4+1 contract.
A five-year
contract, is that?
Yeah, well,
I think it must be.
You know what, Brett? That's obviously bollocks because we never sign a striker. I know we always end up talking about MasterChef on here, but the celebrity MasterChef.
Well, you do, Cliff.
Well, me, I know. Celebrity MasterChef's on at the minute. And it's your usual Love Islanders and EastEnders actress here and Emmerdale actor there. But one of the Black Eyed Peas is on it this time.
Which one?
It's not Will I Am and it's not Fergie. It's the fella who had the Mohegan kind of haircut and the big glasses.
I thought it was just Fergie.
It's
and
called
the,
Will Apple, I Am? Apple, but just APL, Apple.
Why? What is he a dancer? Is it like the Prodigy?
Fucking vowels.
Is that what they are? They're like the Prodigy, are they?
I think so. Well, no, he was one of the singers. He's just not one of the ones that obviously did that well because he's on that.
How many people are in the Black Eyed Peas?
I think there's five. I'm going to say five. Anyway, he's on there and he's got massive glasses on and they're like orange. Whatever, but they're orange. And what's his name? Greg Wallace goes up to him and he's cockney ways. He says, forgive me if I'm wrong, but do you have some kind of sight problem? And he goes, he goes, yeah, I've got a condition that means my eyes swivel around involuntarily.
Swivel. They swivel around in his head.
Yeah.
But like Roger Rabbit when people
yeah.
when
exactly
he,
like
the body gets hit
you
on the
so
end.
I can't say that. And also and on top of that, I'm very nearsighted, so I have to get very close to everything. And like
did he ask to see swivelly eyes?
No, he didn't.
Because
he
that would have been the next question, wouldn't it?
You just left it at that.
Can I have a look? Can I have a look at your swivelly eyes? How can you
anyway,
see the
plumage? You didn't ask him. But then the next clip of him was just a guy with his face really close to the chopping board while he was chopping somebody.
I don't believe the swivelly eyes claim.
You know what, Brett? I did actually like not entirely hear what you said at that point.
Right, so you've just made that up. It's like you watch TV and that. Have you ever seen when actors look at other actors and the eyes kind of shake? Have you ever seen that?
Is it because they're looking at their words? Is that why?
I don't know what they're doing, but that if you watch like TV shows and stuff like that, when an actor's seeing the line, they've got a look in someone's face, that the eyes kind of shake from side to side for some reason.
The words
maybe it's the light. I don't think it's... I don't think it's that. I don't think it's that. I think
well,
it's
you
the light
know best,
or something that makes it do. I don't know. I'm just saying.
We are very confident it's not the auto cue, which would seem like the most reasonable.
No, it can't be the auto cue. Definitely not.
Yeah, I'll tell you who I don't believe was looking at an auto cue. The cast of Bottle Boys.
Bottle Boys! Is this Boys. Sung by that man from MasterChef, is it?
Yeah.
Bottle Boys! Yeah.
They're up early in the morning. They're looking forward
they're
to tits.
They're up with the lark. They're up with the lark. Not even Chaz and Dave.
Mate. So, last time we did this, we stumbled across the 1984-1985 sitcom Bottle Boy starring Robin Asquith and written by the people who did, was it God Bless This House or Mind Your Language, something like that, which is more well known, but I don't know.
It was Love Thy Neighbour and Mind Your Language.
Okay, what did I say that one?
Timothy?
Sorry.
But they always say, "Watch your language, Timothy." Don't they?
Language, Timothy.
Language, Timothy.
It starred Robin Asquith, who we were both kind of just fond of because of the Confessions of a Whatever series.
Uh-huh.
And
because they used to be on Bravo like late at night. Can you remember that?
Channel 4, Sky Channel. Bravo was pretty good. So these saucy 70s adventures that he was always a cheeky chappy in. He must have been young.
Yeah, he must have been for the ones in the 70s. I mean, those were the 70s, those confession films, weren't they? Whereas this one isn't.
This is 1984-1985, but he's the young lad in this, isn't he? The cheeky chappy. That's his character in this.
He is. He's the kind of... it's a strange one, this, right? Because I was expecting it to be a bit like the Confessions films, and it's not
really,
is it?
They make it look like it is, that's why. Yeah. Have you got a synopsis of it?
It's just basically what you said last week.
Yeah, I've got one.
Go on, then you can do it.
David Deacon is a football-mad milkman working at Dawson's Dairies. The laughs.
Right.
This is just the IMDb thing.
The laughs.
The laughs circle around the fact that he's constantly trying to deliver to the local housewives, and not just dairy products. His misfit work colleagues also seem to be interested in doing anything but their job. Do you think that accurately describes what we just watched?
Brett? Not at all. It's not accurate at all. For a start, the episode that we watched, I don't know if it was one of the poorer episodes. It's called All in a Day's Work. But it was the first one on YouTube by the fella that's put them all on.
It's the fourth episode, I think, of the first series.
Yeah. So it's not even the first episode. For one, in this particular episode, football is not mentioned once.
I mean, you would never know he was football mad, right? Like, if you're just going to go on that description, never know he was football mad. Doesn't look like he's football mad. Doesn't talk about it. Not even wearing a QPR scarf or out like that on his rounds.
Because he's a
also,
QPR fan, isn't he?
Rounds. Doesn't go on any rounds, does he?
never see him on his rounds. They always finish their rounds and they're back in the office by the time the programme starts.
In the back of the depot.
Yeah, in the dairy. That's the thing. I've got a story about a dairy. I don't know if it's true. I might have made it up. I might have told you about it before. I found a bag of gold when I was a child next to the...
All right, Warwick Davis.
Next to the dairy. It's true. I think. Yeah, a bag full of gold.
What dairy? The one of,
you know the day, it's the born name.
Aye. Yeah, the one.
That one. I thought it was a full bag of gold, watches, jewels, all kinds of things. Oh,
well, okay, gold watches and stuff is a bit more believable, but I thought he just meant
guy gold. Oh, an actual like, in the shape of a bag.
No, just a bag. The bag that you go. I'm picturing a sack, obviously, with a tie on it.
Right.
And I just thought it'd be full of like gold nuggets, like on Yosemite Sam or something.
Right. No.
But that's next to my old school, wasn't it? On Westgate Road.
Westcott Road.
Anyway.
Something like that. Whatever. What were we talking about there? So he's not a football fan.
Well,
he doesn't get particularly amorous in the episode that we watched.
No, I mean,
with anybody.
Even the credits make it seem like it is.
Yeah, but it didn't happen. I felt robbed, Cliff.
No, and it's not just doesn't happen. He gets stuck. He's stuck in a lift.
that's all that happens. I mean, at the start of the episode, it's them in kind of the bait room or whatever, isn't it, having their dinner. And this fella, one of his friends, tells this Chinese proverb, and it goes on for ages, and there's no point to it whatsoever.
I'm going
to
say that this is probably the worst TV show I've ever seen. And when we were first started talking about it last time, when we were reading what people said, there was many things that said this was the worst TV sitcom that's ever been made, and I decided it was worth watching, and I was wrong. It was not worth watching. Somebody said it was the worst show ever made. I think was it Paul Gambaccini that said that?
Yeah, let's say it was Mike Reed or someone like that.
You wouldn't have liked
it. No, it was the Beatles guy, wasn't it? Said last week.
Yes, it was. It was Mark Lewison.
Yeah. Yes. He stuck his oar in. I mean, but you know, on the basis of this particular episode, I think he's probably right, even though he should just concentrate on the Beatles and that.
He should get finishing that second fucking volume in that series of books that he's writing. I would say this episode at least had no merits whatsoever. Nothing good about it.
That's true. That is true. So I mean, after the Chinese proverb, we'll find out that one of the bottle boys, is poorly and he's got to go and see him for some reason in that.
No, man, his Scottish wife came in. Oh, you have to go and see him.
Yeah. And I mean, I've watched another episode of this, and would you fathom it, Cliff? The Scottish man's an alcoholic.
Well, they say that in this, don't they? Because she says he has to go look after him. And then the doctor comes in and there's hilarity because they assume the doctor will be a man and it's actually a lady.
Oh, yeah.
What a mix-up. And she says, You've got a bad case of a hangover.
Yes. That's I mean, it. How can a doctor tell if you've got a hangover? By looking at your tongue? Anyway.
Maybe she just felt his breath on her.
I mean, you'd be in the shit, wouldn't you? At work, if that was the case. If you people could just look at your tongue, stick your tongue out.
Yeah.
You've got a hangover. Yes.
Also, like, he's only got to do a few hours work, right? And then he can go back to bed. I just don't
He's
I got don't
to get up
it.
Early, though, hasn't he? Milk, I mean, you remember.
You're the telling me that Askins has to be on the peeve the day before.
Yeah, I mean, they got up like 5 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, the bottle boys, didn't they? They used to wake you up in the night. I don't remember
well,
that. No,
but I'm just saying, like, a lot of them must have been hungover and just got on with it because by 10 a.m., go back to the pub or go to bed if they want. They're like the more they're the more hardcore postmen, aren't they?
They certainly are. They certainly are. Hey, I'd like to have a shot of one of the electric carts though. Do you think that you'd be all right in that?
Well, the only thing I think of with that is the Father Ted episode when they're in the speed style episode where they're in the electric milk float, which I think is excellent. But of course, I would like to. There's a lot of jobs like that. I'd like to have a go at the equipment without actually wanting to do the job.
Mm-hmm. And I remember because as a kid, can you remember the day as a kid when you realized that the milkman could feasibly deliver yogurt or orange juice? Yeah. Well, like we never got any of that. You were very like, ooh. Posh if you got a bit of orange juice in that, wouldn't you?
The orange juice, I mean, nobody like orange juice back then was a luxury, wasn't it? Like you,
yeah,
yeah. You're more well traveled than me as a kid, but we used to go to Blackpool or wherever for a few days, and orange juice was a starter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was like an orange juice starter for breakfast, and then cornflakes.
Yeah, I was the same. I didn't go anywhere, Cliff. I didn't kind of broaden out like that. I'm not well travelled. What a claim. What boast.
To boast on your behalf.
I mean, I went to Scotland. Well, that's all right, isn't it?
That's a stamp in your passport, isn't it?
It certainly is. Yeah, my mother didn't pack my shoes, though, which was great disappointment.
Was that the first time you got trench foot?
Yes, it was the first time I came face to face with a sheep in the Scottish Highlands.
Let's not talk about
that. At least it was face to face. I was chased by a goat, but that was.
Well, of course, we've all been chased by goats, but yet look, everybody has a go at me for being scared of goats.
When were you chased by a goat?
Have
we talked about this before?
Yes, of course. I'll show you the picture. My dad always brings it up. I get cornered by goats.
I haven't seen no picture. Oh, yes. I have seen it, yes. I have seen it, that's right.
They're launching themselves at us.
Mm-hmm. You attract the goats, don't you? The feistiness of the goats.
The slid-eyed fiends.
Well, they've got devil horns, haven't they? I was chased by a goat. You used to get off a train, not a metro, a train at East Bolden, I think. And
yes,
you used to have to cut
train,
through like the farms.
Well, to get back to yours, you would have had to walk through the farms through Broccoli Windsor, wouldn't you, from East Bolden?
And there was a particularly angry goat on that path, and that's the one that
did he ever
us.
Talk to you?
No.
Would thou like Black to Phillip. Live deliciously?
Would thou like to live deliciously?
No, the answer to that is yes. Yes, of course.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Yes, what do course. I have to do?
Okay, well, whatever you want, I'm in.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I would definitely go for it if Black Phillip asked us that.
I think Anya Taylor-Joy should have stuck with that gig, to be honest, because...
What? Being a witch?
That was her best... I don't like that film, but that was 100% her best role.
Hey, I love that film.
I know
I
you do.
It's great.
Mm-hmm.
I really like it. Yeah, you don't like Finchie, do you? He trolled you.
Well, I trolled him. I think he's.
Have you trolled him?
I just said I was Guardians of the Galaxy and I tweeted saying, oh, I enjoy that, but very surprised to see Finchy from The Office in there. Didn't tag him, obviously. Didn't write his name, Ralph Ineson. Just said Finchy from The Office, and he's obviously a fucking searcher for his name. So he replied instantly, saying, and why wouldn't I be able to be in a film like that? I'm an actor trying to make a living, blah, 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 blah. Like, fuck it. All right, mate. Fucking hell. As if anybody cares what I think.
You know what, Cliff, the thing is about you, you spend your life trying not to piss people off, but you just do, don't you?
I mean, you piss a plethora of people off.
Always. It's not your fault. It's not your fault, Cliff. Is it? Do you know what I mean? You're just giving your honest opinion, aren't you? That's the thing.
But I didn't like go out of my way to tell him that. And also, I didn't. Maybe I said something bad, but I can't remember. It was when we just moved to Dubai.
What was the bad thing? Come on, let's spill it.
No, I mean, like, my memory
Andy's
of it is
a
saying,
cunt.
I can't
is that what you put at the end?
Cunt Ralph Ineson tagging him is in this film, stinking the place up.
The massive cunt. That's what you put.
How dare he?
How dare he think he
even the stick?
One of these
the
films.
Stick's better than that knob.
The stick.
And for some reason, I'm fucking upset and tweeting this. What a dick. Probably listen to this. He's probably got some kind of fucking audio search for his name. Going on.
Well, if you're listening,
in for it now.
Ralph Ineson, Finchy from The Office. I'm warm to you.
Even the fucking stick's better than you. Hey, I think
no, I can't really remember that film, but I'm pretty confident a stick grew into a monster. That's the only thing I can remember.
You mean Groot? Groot. Hey, what you like? Right. Hey, we've moved off. What we're talking
we
about have, again?
We were talking about Bottle Boys, but I think that's fine. We're running out of time for this half, so let's take a little break. Come back, maybe talk about Bottle Boys again. But we've definitely got a quiz, and we've definitely got some music.
We sure do.
Right, I'll see you in 10 minutes.
10
to see who I can piss off then in this time.
Yeah, pick someone else. Go on.
Right.
Pick someone else.
See ya.
Right. Bye.
I don't know if we need to talk about Bottle Boys anymore. It was genuinely terrible. It was a bit racist. The characters were awful. The writing was terrible. I always thought Asquith had a lot of charm from what I remember from the Confessions films and Corey and on Twitter, he's very good. But this is awful. Like, I don't know whether it's him or the script. It's definitely the script, but I don't think he's got much chance. The other actors aren't great. What's she called? Pamson Clements in this.
Yes, I did watch the next episode that came on, and the feminists won't like it. Let's put it that way, because it's about a woman coming into work or whatever, isn't it? But Pat Butcher's in it, isn't she? She's the kind of woman who upsets the apple cart.
I think what's weird about this show is it feels like much. Obviously, we were 4 or 5 in 1984, 1985, right? So,
yeah, so
we can't
remember
this, right?
Yeah.
But I feel like things must have moved on a bit for this kind of comedy, which is probably why it wasn't massively successful. Because I feel like in the 70s, this kind of shit would be okay. Taking the piss out of Chinese people and women and like. But for the mid-80s, it feels very dated even then.
Yeah, I think that's true. I remember Alf Garnett in that. And I remember, I haven't watched it back since being a kid. But I remember that had a similar sort of tone. It's almost like the comedy is forced. Like everything's forced when you watch the episodes, you know what I mean?
This is really forced. It's horrible. Like, and I think you're right, that little bit by the guy who's doing the Chinese proverb thing Is he that character? I assume is meant to be a simple man.
I guess so. And the only reason for it to be in there, because there's no other reason, is for two incredibly racist Chinese jokes.
Yeah.
That's the only reason for that to be.
But
in
it goes
there.
On for fucking ages. Like, absolutely
it does,
ages.
It's like, it's terrible writing, really, isn't it? It's shocking. And it, yeah, I mean,
awful.
The next episode is a little bit better. Like I say, if you're a feminist, you won't like it. I don't think many feminists listen to this.
But there's 12. But oh, I'm a feminist, Brett. Are you not? Are you?
Not really, Cliff.
There's 12. There's about 12 minutes of them stuck in a lift in this, and there's no
it's ridiculous.
Jokes, no tension. No joke.
There's one joke in the lift, but again, it's an incredibly racist joke. Do you know what it is? Because I mean, it was going over my head, to be honest, until I sort of clever read you, what I had written down about it. They're stuck in the lift. There's two white fellas and one black guy, and the black guy proposes to eat someone. I mean, that's just shit.
Yeah, and at the very beginning of the episode, they don't. It's not like overtly racist. Like they're not saying, "Oh, hey, he'll probably eat us, the cannibal," or whatever. But they say the same thing at the beginning when they walk into the mess room. Let's call it that. And okay. He's asleep, and one of them says to Asquith, "Well, look at him over there," and he goes, "Yeah. He's barely human."
Yeah, he can almost like, pass for human or something.
He can almost
like that.
Pass for human. I'm like,
yeah,
he's just a man. He's just a sleeping man. And
did you laugh, Cliff, once?
There was one line that I thought was
funny.
Okay,
uh-huh.
Near the beginning, and I can't remember it now, and I didn't write it down, so it wasn't like anything that was super funny, but it
memorable.
Was about, I don't know, about 7 minutes into it, there was something that was like, well, that's okay. That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but that was the best it got. And I think, you know what, like, there'll be people who are going, what, will I eat you? It's not because he's black that they've said that. It's just because he was... They're talking about that. It might get to that because they're stuck in the lift. I'm like, yeah. But also that joke in the first 30 seconds. And
yeah,
it wasn't the other way around, wasn't it? It wasn't Robin Asquith who they said that to. So I think there will be people who are like...
It was definitely that. They can't make any excuses for the...
So maybe we leave it there and we do a quiz.
I think we should because, you know, we don't normally do stuff like that, do we?
No, that's quite a happy accident. And it was all planned, like inside number 9 itself.
Exactly. Yes, so we do have a quiz. And the quiz is entitled Milk. For your pleasure. So here's question number 1. Who wrote the short story Morning Deliveries, Milkman number 1? In which a milkman kills people by leaving surprises, including poison, toxic gas, and venomous spiders in milk cans.
Cans. Well, we don't get Americans, so I'm going to go for your man, Stephen King.
And you're right about that.
Cans.
In a book of short stories called Skeleton Crew.
Cans of milk.
Whatever
next.
I know. I thought it was only the milkmaids that put it in cans. There you go. We all loved the Eurovision milkmaids, didn't we?
Of course.
Yeah. Who sang 1966's pop hit, No Milk Today?
No milk today. Maid has gone away. Is it Manfred Mann?
Oh, you're close. You're so close.
Hermits.
Yes, well done. The next one along from them, eh?
Yeah, the next one down the ladder, very much so.
Yeah. Next one, which comedian and former milkman. That's very important. Okay. Had a hit in 1971 with Ernie, the fastest milkman in the West.
I think it's Benny Hill, and I think he's the fastest milkman in the West because it's always speeded up, isn't he? He's going twice.
And that is exactly right, yes. Can you, if this isn't one of the questions, Cliff, but can you tell us what very famous 60s film Benny Hill's in?
Oh, I can't.
Can't. You know. I'll give you a clue. Michael Caine is in it.
In the 60s, the Italian Job.
It is. Yes, he is in the Italian Job. Weirdly.
Never seen it.
You've never seen the Italian Job? It's good. No. It is good, man. It is good. Next one. In which sitcom was an unnamed milkwoman the object of Granville's desires?
She a milkwoman?
Apparently you never see her. He just keeps talking about her. Okay. Because he's up early in the morning, isn't he?
It's obviously doesn't matter what she looks like. She's never going to be the most attractive person in that show, is she?
You never know. One of the actual good sitcoms from what?
You think she's whoever she is, she's going to be better than Nurse Gladys?
Of course not. I mean, how could anybody be?
That's why they can't put her on the screen, because it wouldn't make any sense.
Exactly. Because Nurse Gladys, she but is.
It's Arkwright who fancies her, right? Not yeah.
It's Arkwright. Okay. Uh-huh. That would be a good one to do. Because I used to love Hockley at Oak Knoll House.
Fucking love it. He gets his hands stuck in the till every week.
Exactly. Yeah. He rips everybody off who comes into the little shop, doesn't he? Uh-huh. I'd like to do that one, I think.
I like that. And what it always made me think of just shops that were around, like the hill in that way I grew up.
Used to look like that, didn't it?
Yeah, it didn't feel like it was years ago when we were watching it. Like as a kid, it just felt like the shops that were around.
Where the shopkeeper had it, like a white coat on.
White coat or brown coat.
Uh-huh.
It's great, all of that stuff, isn't it? Like me and Anna, we used to live at the hill, gets a bad rep. But we used to go to the butchers, you got your meat, they wrapped it up in paper and string and that, like I know it's bordering on, like, remember the old times, but...
No,
like,
well, why should you deny your memories, Cliff?
Instead of a polystyrene tray.
Yeah, exactly. when was the last time that you went out and bought a slab of meat? I assume it's called a slab. Can I have a slab of meat, please?
Not today, but I did get 3 kilograms of meat delivered to me door.
Did you? Did it come wrapped in paper? How did it come? Polystyrene? You know,
it came in a cardboard box. And I think
cardboard box? What's it? This like 7 or something.
Yeah. I didn't see what the meat was. It was all heads.
It was all heads.
3 kilograms of heads. Just 3 heads.
7 heads. And what are you going to use those heads for?
A head's a kilogram. Probably a child's head, that, isn't it? Never mind.
Let's leave it there.
That's not what I ordered.
I'm sorry you brought us a child's head.
Sorry.
This is not what... It's not going to work for us. It's not going to work.
I asked for an adult's head, but there's 3 of them. It comes out the same.
Oh, my God.
But I don't want all of that ear.
Right, next one. Which beverage is commonly used? Milk? Hey, you're starting to click on it. It's took you 2 years. How long have we been doing this? 2-3 years? You're getting there. Which beverage is commonly used in protests targeting right-wing politicians, e.g. Tommy Robinson, Nigel Farage?
A milkshake.
It is a milkshake. And the act of it is called milkshaking.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yes.
Is that in Newcastle, didn't it? With Farage.
It did, yes. McDonald's, wasn't it?
That was good, wasn't it?
That was good. Like,
I think it was an artisanal milkshake from the Granger Market.
Aye, everyone had a good laugh when, and I think that was just, you know, prior to me dad actually trying to kill him. I told you about him nearly running him over at Newcastle, didn't I?
He should have fucking done it.
He should have done. Right, last one for you, Cliff. What does the term milkshake duck mean? Now, I'll give you a clue. It's about social media and that, and you're very in on all that kind of stuff.
Do you know what?
Yes. Milkshake duck.
I don't know, Brett. I don't know.
You don't know. The answer, Cliff, it refers to a person who has become popular on social media only to then be disgraced by people going through their previous posts.
Oh, like the one-time Burnley forward Andre Gray.
Yes, like that. Exactly like that. Okay. Like, you know how that actor from the Witch film has gone through your previous post to find out if there's anything wrong with you.
You thing is, and I can't get lower.
Are you sure about that? You are ordering child's heads to your door.
No,
and you've just revealed that.
I didn't order that. Just wondering.
Well, there you go. I mean, that's what you say.
I did get the message with an alternative option from the shop. I'll give you that.
Would you like this replaced? No, that's quite all right. Thank you. So that's your milk quiz this week, Cliff.
Well, I quite like that, Brett. It was eclectic, but all themed around the milk.
Exactly. There you go. So we've got the bit of music now.
We've got music, and it's a good one, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a good one. Of course it is, man. Of course it is.
Tell us a little bit about this artist.
Yes, the music this week is by Joe Adamar, and it's called We Hear the Colours, and it's from the album The Synthesit. Do you like the way I said that?
No, I didn't
at all. The Synthesit.
No, I don't think anybody would like the way you said that. What is it?
What do you mean? Hold on. That is the perfect way to say it. The Synthesit.
Okay. Synthesit.
And Jules from The Big Smoke.
The Big
obviously.
Smoke, of course, is London. Yeah. It's the closer of that album. It's a good song, isn't it? It's really good.
It's good. I don't really have much
critique or anything to add, but I think it's really good, and I can see why it's an album closer, and it's going to be a good podcast closer. So let's listen to it. Cheers, Joe, for being part of it, and thanks, Brett, for watching that bullshit. And we're going to try and we'll pick it up a little bit. We'll do a little bit more. We'll do some quicker episodes and get involved a little bit more.
We'll do a few more, yes.
That's good.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
We'll do
a few more.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Right, okay. Well, thanks, everyone. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
How we could soon be clinging, and we could not feel that. seat said I could only hear black and white.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.